You keep your mind on the money, keeping your eyes on the wall.
You're my private dancer, dancer for money.
Do what you want me to do. I'm your
private dancer,
dancer for money. And any old music will do.
8:02 on a Tuesday, Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. Final hour of this program, What We Learn's, all the good stuff. Brought to you by two fine companies. The first, you know them, the Delary family of Acura dealers. Three dealerships to serve you better: North Shore Acura, Acura of Langley, Burrard Acura on Terminal Avenue. Experience the Delary difference today. Visit your nearest Delary Acura dealer today. Jason, tell them about Kintech.
Oh, you mean the fact that this hour of Halford and Bruff is brought to you by Kintech Footwear and Orthotics? Do your feet hurt? Kintech can help. They've certainly helped me. Talk to a fitting expert today at 11 Lower Mainland locations or online at kintec.net.
Let's go to the phone lines now. The intro music gave away who we're talking to next. It's Thomas Drance from the Athletic Vancouver here on the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. What up, Drancer?
Boys, good morning.
Do you want to weigh in first and foremost about the subject of our poll question today and something that was raging on social media yesterday, that being the toxicity of the Vancouver market? I think I know where you're going to go with this, but because I've heard you, you know, explain this very thoroughly before, but for the listeners that may not have heard it, Drance, go ahead, take the floor.
Yeah, so word the poll question to me explicitly so I can give you a yes or a no or come down on it if you would.
Okay, let me just find it. Drance,
what's more like toxic, cult? Canucks Twitter, Canucks media, asbestos, or the Canucks?
Wow, okay, I'm glad that I asked. Well, the problem with asbestos, no. The Vancouver's a tough market. I don't think there's any question, by the way, that this is a really tough market to lose in, right? Like, that's in particular where Vancouver gets very difficult from a player, coach, executive standpoint. And, you know, that is distinct from American markets. You know, when I was down in Florida, right, if we were losing, the sound of losing was silence. Like, you could hear a pin drop. What I always said was when we were losing, you could hear a pin drop. And by that, I mean, no one was emailing me or calling me or interested in telling stories about us. We just kind of disappeared in a market that, you know, had the Miami Dolphins and the Miami Heat and, you know, various college teams to obsess about, plus beaches and good weather and, you know, whatever, right? We were a sideshow, especially in the event that we weren't successful. Now, when you win, we kind of existed. We at least sort of got there. Vancouver doesn't have that at all. Vancouver always is loud. It's just that when you're good and you're winning, it's loud in a way that's, you know, praising you. It's adulatory, or like, that's, you know, people are excited. But when you're losing, it's still loud. It's harsh, like it's just angry, and so there is that side of it to manage. Like, there is a thing that this club has to be aware of, which is that, you know, it is difficult for players. I don't think there's any question, by the way, that it's difficult for players in this marketplace, but I just don't buy that it's difficult for players in this marketplace because of, like, the passion that fans have. Like, you know, hockey matters here. Hockey matters more here than it matters in most places, the vast majority of places. And it does take on a negative tinge, in my view, because, yeah, the city hasn't won a cup. Like, this fan base has been uniquely tortured in the annals.
We've come so close.
Yeah, well, twice, right? Like, only franchise to have never won the cup to have lost multiple game sevens in the Stanley Cup.
0-3 in games to win the cup.
Right. I mean, it's... No other franchise has endured that. No other Canadian market franchise has endured that. I do think there are some unique edges in this fan base. I think the riots speak to that. But, you know, like, if you're playing in Vancouver, you're playing in a market where hockey matters. You are part of the show. And there are positives to that, and there are negatives to that. And, you know, it's like any other team. There's positives and there's negatives to playing in a market where hockey doesn't matter, right? Like, there's negatives culturally and in terms of team building to playing in a market where the building's half full every game, right? Like, there's, no matter where you are, there's things you have to contend with and be aware of in terms of fleshing out your roster. But, you know, and I hear this a lot, like, well, this team can't get players because of the tax rate, or, you know, this team can't get players because of the attention. And it's like, you know, sometimes you just have to be willing to walk away from people. Like, if you're not going to be able to get X player because of a marginal tax rate, like, whatever. You don't really need that person in your program anyway. If a player doesn't want to be part of a team in a market where it matters a lot, like, so be it. That's fine. You know, you want to make the salary of an entertainer without really entertaining anyone? Go ahead. Go, you know, there's a ton of teams you can play for where you'll never do a media interview. Who cares? Like, you have to be ruthless in pursuing the right type of people to play for your organization. Like, that's, anything else is a loser mentality. You can't focus on the things that, you know, that you can't control. You can't focus on the types of people you don't want. You have to focus on identifying and figuring out the types of people that can excel in a market like Vancouver. And obviously, you know, we've seen over the years a ton of people like that. Like, we've seen the Sedin twins. You know, we've seen Trevor Linden, right? Like, there are people, Bo Horvat, I think, is a really good example on the current roster. Like, there are people who clearly can embrace it, enjoy it, do it really well. You know, that's the type of people this team needs to bring in. And I just think focusing on the negativity of the fan base or what have you, it's like, oh man, like, I can't believe this market's shredding a $50 million defenseman, you know, who's struggled for the last 4 years by their own admission. Like, yeah, what do you expect in a market where people talk about and care about hockey? You know, we're going to talk about players. We're going to talk about good players. We're going to talk about our concerns about bets. We're not going to wait 6 months to break down a trade. Like, that's not how this works.
Wait and see, Drance.
Wait and see. Do they do that in the NFL? Like, Aaron Rodgers reports to Green Bay Packers camp, and everyone's like, well, let's wait and see if he actually plays. Nobody does that. It's an instant reaction world. Are you in the entertainment business? Are you in the entertainment business, or are you in the knitting circle business? You know, like, hockey people, I wish I could whine about anything the way that hockey people whine about their sport being covered like it matters. You know, it's just ridiculous. Like, yeah. Do you want this to be an entertainment product that people care about and talk about, or not?
It's not in the human condition to do wait and see. Like, it's just not. Yeah, we're going to think about it. We're going to analyze it. That's what we do. It's what keeps us alive for the most part.
Right. It's like a, you know, a farmer planting crops. Like, oh, we'll wait and see how it does. It's like, no, you gotta have some confidence in your bet here. You're not gonna eat. I can't always tell if it's convenient or if there's just this mentality in hockey where, you know, people just don't want to deal with it. People just don't want to deal with the media, or the scrutiny, or the attention. And when it comes, there's an awful lot of whining that takes place. Or if it's, you know, partly in bad faith, right? Partly just like it's convenient to bring up the media attention whenever someone gets held accountable for something that's completely legitimate, like, you know, being a really, really highly paid player who hasn't performed, or, you know, making a very cynical moral decision at the draft or what have you. And I tend to suspect it's usually the latter.
All that being said, Drance, do we need, as Vancouver media, do we need to stop being so defensive?
Yeah, we do. I do, for sure. I definitely took the bait yesterday, and then I thought to myself, you know what? Whatever. I shouldn't be doing this. I've written like 40 articles in the last 10 days. And why is that? Because there's people who want to read them. Every time we post them, there's people buying subscriptions and reading. Mm-hmm. And I just need to let my work speak for myself. So yeah, I do think we should be less defensive. I think we just got to go about doing, you know, good work. In your case, gentlemen, just laughing about stuff and, you know, providing people with the banter that they want in the mornings. And for me, cranking out articles at a ridiculous, you know, volume, and then occasionally jumping on to make fun of things with you guys. I mean, you know, it is hard work being responsible for 50 years of no success in this hockey market. You know, like, it's really tough, and it takes a lot of discipline. to be personally responsible for the lack of success that this team has and the fact that players don't want to play here. But I'm proud of my output. I'm proud of everything I've brought to this hockey market, and I need to keep it up. So I just want to let my works talk for itself going forward. I do need to be less defensive.
I'm glad you brought up the losing part of it, because when you and I combined for the book, I do remember an overriding theme is you got to boil it down to the essence of not what it means to be a fan and not gatekeeping for a fan, but you just have to understand how did we get here? You went over the
You said that at the Pulitzer presentation.
The second Pulitzer presentation.
I'm sorry, I had to interrupt you. That joke was too good.
One of the many reasons why I never mentioned the book on air. But what you do is you look back and you're like, okay, and now having been able to do this,
we keep hoping.
You keep hoping. It comes down to two things. And it's what makes Vancouver inherently unique, is it's the biggest show in town. We talked about this earlier. The biggest show in town.
Yep.
Without question. And there's no even real close number two. I'd even say maybe even number three. But also, you've been the biggest show in town for 50 years. It's like a Broadway play that's been playing to crappy reviews for 50 years consecutively. Like you're...
Cats.
You're Cats, basically. Vancouver's Cats.
All right, fine. I'm going back. But yeah. Next year, this might be the last year I'm going to this.
So, because we were saying, like, okay, don't get me wrong. Hockey in a lot of other Canadian markets is king and sacrosanct and all that stuff. But Edmonton has had success and won cups. Calgary has had success and won cups. Montreal goes without saying. So Vancouver's got this weirdly unique niche carved out where it's been the biggest show since the 70s, but the show has always left fans disappointed. And that's something that I think a lot of people have never really wrapped their heads around. It's hard to take a step back and look at yourself in that sort of manner, but that's exactly what it is. The only one that kind of comes close is Buffalo. Really,
yeah.
And that's a big indictment.
Yeah. And Buffalo isn't well,
right?
As a sports city,
Buffalo is eternal existential crisis about why they're doing this, and so that's why we always kind of align ourselves with Buffalo.
But it's also really important to note something, which is how much more the Buffalo Sabres have won than the Vancouver Canucks over the length of their history.
Sure,
yeah. Right? Like that's the other thing to remember. Vancouver's like of any current NHL market, right? The city of Vancouver has the lowest winning percentage in the league. In the league, over 50 years. So it's not just the lack of Stanley Cups. Like, the Sabres ranked 10th. The Sabres won a lot in the 70s. Like,
yes.
You know, we know the last decade's been an embarrassment for them. We know they're gearing up to tank again for Shane Wright, having just tanked embarrassingly for McDavid and Eichel.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
McDavid and Ekblad. Those two seasons. And that was only 7 years ago. Like, imagine restarting a rebuild, 7 years later. Like, that's brutal. So I don't want to minimize what the Buffalo sports fans have dealt with over the last 10 years. But when you take a step back and look over the course of history as a whole, like, Buffalo's won a lot more than the Canucks. They've won a lot more than the Canucks, even if the Canucks have been to more finals. This team has been uniquely feckless for large stretches of its existence, right? The 70s, we all know, especially the first half of that decade, and then the second half of the 80s, like 83 to 88, until you get to the Pat Quinn era. And then the late 90s, like when this team has lost big. And honestly, the last 6 years can't be excluded from that, right? Like with the exception of 2019-20, this is as lean a stretch as this franchise has ever endured. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then you take this step forward in the bubble and people were really excited about it, right? Like people were really excited about it. My friends were pumped. My friends' dads were pumped. Everyone had just gone through this, you know, lockdown the spring before. And, you know, it was summer, caseloads were low and the Canucks were winning and it meant a lot to people. And then, you know, the Canucks had an offseason that they themselves seem to be repudiating at every step, right? Like, they're basically undoing some of the moves of last offseason, from not getting the Ekman-Larsson deal done to bringing in Braden Holtby and Nate Schmidt. Like, you go line item by line item, right? It's like they're undoing the work of their offseason. The franchise cuts a ton of money, fires a ton of people, you know, I think there's an extra complicated thing that comes from that because, you know, people have had a touch and go relationship with their own employers over the course of this year, or the course of this last 16 months. And then they lose, and then they lose a ton. And then there's the COVID outbreak, and then there's the Virtanen news, right? And then, you know, the hits keep coming. And, you know, now we're being told we're all, not we, but like this whole market's being told everyone's too negative. And it's just like, well, you know, I mean, look at what just happened. Like, look at what just transpired. Look at the season that was. Look at all the rumblings we're hearing about players being unhappy. Look at Alex Edler walking out the door. You know, like, it's been a rough 5-6 years for this franchise in particular. And the fact that, you know, frustration has hit a fever pitch after the team tantalized with the potential of their young core in the playoffs, only to take a dramatic step back, driven in large part by the necessity of the pandemic, in large part by a lack of spending, right? And in large part by, you know, the same issues that have repeatedly frustrated people in this market, right? In terms of talent evaluation. And yeah, I mean, I don't know why that's such a surprise. You know, like the story that this team has written to this point is one that's frustrating, like is one that's going to upset fans. And, you know, that's one reason I think the club went so big with that Ekman-Larsson deal. Like, I don't think you could afford to lose another year with this group in this market. Like, I just don't think you could. And, you know, it's one reason why I haven't been carving the deal perhaps as much as some of my colleagues. You know, I look at what happened with Schmidt and with Holtby and with Edler, right? And I look at, you know, Bo Horvat being up in 2 years and, you know, what this team needs to do. And I just don't think you can afford to keep losing. Like, I just don't think you can afford to keep losing around this young group right now. And so the question isn't, you know, should the Canucks have gone for it the way they did for me? The question is, did they go for it in the right way? Like, can they actually win the way they really, really need to at this point in their life cycle? Because I just think that you're at risk at this point on a team level. And I know I've switched from takes about the city to takes about the team, but I just, you know, it is holistic. Like, I do think it's all connected, especially because of the challenges of losing in this market. But the question now is, can you actually win? Because if you don't, I do wonder if you fundamentally compromise sort of like the competitive window and integrity of this group, especially in the event that, you know, more of your players and specifically your core players begin to look around and decide like, hey, I don't think it's going to happen for me here.
Drance, karma must be on our side here because we have breaking Canucks news right here.
Sportsnet 650, breaking news.
Smack in the middle of your hit, your frequent co-author of The Athletic, Rick Dhaliwal, reports that the Vancouver Canucks will buy out the contract of Braden Holtby.
Wow.
Today. We've got your live reaction here on Sportsnet 650, Halford and Brough Show. So I'm sure you've thought about this possibility. Here's what I actually told Dom. I said, look, we're going to throw this at Drance. He is more than well equipped to talk about the possibility of this happening and then the eventuality. So Braden Holtby, buyout, Vancouver Canucks today, go.
Not shocked. Fundamentally, I'm not shocked. I have a piece that's running at The Athletic shortly that I'm going to have to amend that discussed. I've been hearing a fair bit about interest and legwork being put into identifying potential backup options, like affordable backup options. And I got a really credible tip on that last night. Okay. And the moment that I heard that, I thought that this was the likely outcome. Like, I thought that this was coming. And yet I wasn't sure about it. You know, if you guys had asked me on this hit, and I was prepared to be asked about it on this hit an hour before we see whether or not players are being put on unconditional waivers or not, right? You know, I was going to say that my understanding or my sense of it is that it's a fluid situation and that it could go either way and that I won't be surprised by any outcome. And I wouldn't have been surprised by any outcome. Like, I wouldn't have been surprised if the Canucks had maintained him on the books and sort of looked to continue to trade him once the you know, and I use sort of like goalie musical chairs, right? Like goalie musical chairs happen every off season, and then the music stops, and some team's Edmonton and needs to sign Mike Smith. And then because it's goaltenders, right? Mike Smith then is the best of all the goaltenders.
Right.
Like that's the position. But that happens every off season, and I did sort of wonder, you know, because of the Canucks' ability to open a second buyout window in August by slow playing negotiations with a guy like Jason Dickinson, if they so chose, you know, I did think that maybe they'd wait for the music to stop and then see if there was interest, right? See how negotiations progressed with Philip Grubauer and the Colorado Avalanche, because I do think Colorado is going to be a team to watch here now that Braden Holtby is poised to be a UFA. See what Boston decided to do, especially having, you know, not qualified a couple of relatively expensive forwards in Andrej Kasha and Ritchie. And I think Boston's a team to watch in terms of a potential landing spot for Holtby here. So, you know, I wouldn't have been shocked if they'd slow played this a little bit further. They could have. But when you look at their cap situation, like fundamentally, when you look at their cap situation, when you look at the $3.8 million in space they now have from Holtby, and when you look at the Ekman-Larsson trade, and this is the really important part too. Now that the Canucks have added Dickinson, Ekman-Larsson, and Garland already, clearing out the $3.8 million in cap space that you get from a Holtby buyout at the expense of $1.9 million in dead space a year from now, you're essentially kicking the Luongo recapture penalty down one more year by doing this. But you had to do it. You have to do it. Once the internal logic of the moves you've made to add salary and build up your roster are done, you have to keep going. Like, you're pot committed now. You're pot committed, and that means that a Holtby buyout had to be done. The logic of that was apparent. And so I'm not shocked that they've done this by any means. And I think this flexibility is going to matter an awful lot, especially when you consider all that they need to do in free agency, rebuilding their blue line, adding at least one more forward, whether it's a fourth line center or a middle six winger. And I do think you can add either or. And then also the coverage that you ideally want, cap space wise, just to protect yourself in the highly unlikely event. But it's still an extant risk that Elias Pettersson receives an offer sheet next 24 hours.
So, Drancer, looking forward to free agency tomorrow. Here are the things the Canucks need. You mentioned the fourth line center. They need a backup goalie now.
It could be a middle six winger too, right? Like.
Okay, but also the right side of the defense. There have been reports linking the Canucks to Luke Shen, but surely they need to do more than that, especially if they trade Nate Schmidt.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and I think they're going to try everything they can to trade Nate Schmidt. So you need two defensemen, right? You need two defensemen, ideally three, and you need more depth. Like, I think it makes sense to bring in the right type of veteran lefty to compete with Joleví and Rathbone at training camp. Worst case scenario, Rathbone starts, you know, by playing 25 minutes in Abbotsford. You sell some tickets, you get some development time. I don't think that's a bad outcome, even though I think he'll win out anyway. Like, I think he's good enough. He's going to win out. He's going to be a crucial player for the Canucks next season, in my view. The Shen thing. I don't think when you read how that was worded, like, I'm not saying the intel's incorrect. I'm just saying don't read it as if that's done. It may happen, but I don't think that. You know, I think there's other options. I think the Canucks are, you know, likely to be in on every defense first righty on the market when it opens on Wednesday, right? As one source has told me about the volume of the Canucks' work, you know, you can say just about anything and you won't be too far off with how busy that front office is right now. Oh. So, you know, don't assume that the Shen deal is complete, right? Like, don't assume that. I think they need to add some writings and then a backup goaltender. And, you know, I'm very curious to see what ends up happening there. The two names that I brought up, though, in my article, which is going to drop shortly, and I need to go edit once I get off the phone with you gentlemen, is, the one thing that I sort of mentioned is two guys that I'd be watching for here are Yaro Halak and Brian Elliott. These are two guys who are over the age of 35, and that means they can sign a one-year deal that's bonus-laden, which means that their full salary doesn't necessarily need to be reflected in their cap hit. If you are pressed up against it, as the Canucks are, especially in the event that they don't get Schmidt dealt before 9 a.m. tomorrow, That's one way of carving out some additional flexibility, is to go a little bit long in the tooth with your backup.
Kick the can down the road to next season again.
Baby.
Worry about it later. Drancer, get to work. Let your work speak for itself.
I will. Thank you.
Stay off of Twitter as much as you can. Thanks for joining us today, buddy.
Cheers, gentlemen. All the best. Bye.
Thanks, Thomas. That's Thomas Drance from The Athletic Vancouver here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. In case you missed it, mid-hit with the Drancer. Breaking news from the Vancouver Canucks. According to Rick Dhaliwal, the first on at Old Scoops Dhaliwal, the Canucks are going to buy out the final year of Braden Holtby's contract today. We had Drance for a live reacts right here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. While he did drop the patented wow upon hearing the news, said he wasn't entirely shocked by the development because, quite frankly, and he's very right in this analysis, the Canucks had to do it.
Yeah,
they
had to get some
certainty.
They
are so pot committed for next season.
Yeah. They need to go out and get a goalie now.
Right. And I'd be very curious to see who that's going to be. I'll be very curious to see where Mikey DiPietro fits into this, because make no mistake now, DiPietro is going to be a part of this decision.
Mm-hmm.
He will. I would be shocked if he doesn't see at least a handful of NHL games next year, largely because he's probably going to be a cheaper option. There could be those days where he's doing the paper transactions up and down from Abbotsford, and he's either the backup one night or maybe even the starter. So it's a really dynamic, another dynamic situation the Canucks find themselves in during an offseason, which has already been pretty dynamic. You've got the goaltending situation on top of everything else.
Tomorrow is going to be a lot of fun. And with that in mind, send in your What We Learns into the Dunbar Lumber text line 650-650. It is the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.
Do you want $200? Not having monthly fees means no monthly fee increases. Switch to a Simply Financial no-fee checking account and earn, like I said, $200. Conditions apply. Visit simply.com.
Chasing waterfalls, please stick to the rivers and the lakes that you used to. 8:34 on a Tuesday. Normally I'd ask what's the inspiration for this musical choice, but we don't have time. I need to tell you first about the Dilawri family of Acura dealers, the sponsors of this half hour, and we have some breaking news coming up, so they're sponsoring that. Visit your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. Tell them real quick about Kintec.
This hour of Halford and Brough brought to you by Kintec Footwear and Orthotics. Do your feet hurt? Kintec can help. Talk to a fitting expert today at 11 Lower Mainland locations or online at kintec.net.
So I said we had breaking news. Dom, first play the button.
Sportsnet 650, breaking news.
Perhaps illustrating in the most perfect form how truly messed up the NHL's finances are right now. The Las Vegas Golden Knights have traded the reigning Vezina winner, goaltender Marc-Andre Fleury, to the Chicago Blackhawks. In exchange, the Chicago Blackhawks are giving the Vegas Golden Knights nothing. Marc-Andre Fleury, the 2021 Vezina winner as the NHL's top goaltender, is going via trade to the Chicago Blackhawks for nothing. Just let that sink in for a sec. The best goalie in the league last year, who only has 1 year remaining on his contract at $7 million, has been acquired by another team for absolutely nothing. No pick, no seventh rounder, no future considerations.
That was funny. Halford during the break was like, didn't he win the Vezina?
I had to stop myself because I was just going to relay the news in a general sort of way. Like, wow, that's a big trade. It is a stunner in that regard. Everyone knew that Vegas had to move on from a goalie. As much as they probably liked having two very good options available to them, it was too expensive. And quite frankly, it probably was never meant for the long term to have Robin Lehner and Marc-Andre Fleury work as a tandem. But again, the reigning Vezina Trophy winner was just had for nothing.
Why are we not funding this?
I don't get it.
I don't get that at all,
Dom, but good try. Let's read some What We Learns. Some listener submitted What We Learns. Chuck in Vancouver, What We Learned. I learned that despite its future ramifications, I am really enjoying the chaos of this Canucks offseason. I just hope that the team is as entertaining on the ice as they are in the offseason. The team is going to look pretty different next season, and that's a good thing. Now, are they going to be better? We'll have to wait and see. My opinion is that a lot of the season and next season's success is going to depend on whether or not Ekman Larson is a legitimate top four defenseman anymore.
No, don't like that.
All right, enough of the drops. But it's going to be entertaining. And we always talk about high stakes and how we love the seasons or the games with high stakes. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even matter the sports sometimes.
Yeah.
Now, this one just happens to be the most popular team in the city with the most popular sport. Next season, if things go well, Jim Benning is going to be laughing. If not, he's going to be typing out a resume.
Mm-hmm. It was funny you mentioned high stakes because the high stakes games are great for sure, but just playing off Chuck in Vancouver's what we learned there. This has been one of the most high stakes off seasons that I can remember. Like this is a lot that the Canucks have done here.
It harkens back to the GT Miller trade. I would say that felt like high stakes, but Jim Benning won.
But that wasn't high stakes because he put the pressure on himself to go and do this. Benning went out there and said, we're going to be aggressive this summer. My word, have they been aggressive this summer?
He had no option. Well, I guarantee he was told, make the playoffs next year.
Okay, but that's fine. That doesn't take away from the original point that the man, whoever put it out there for public consumption, when you wear the big shoes and you're in the big chair, and that is Jim Benning as the general manager,
mm-hmm.
It's hard to deliver.
Do you think getting rid of the final years of Beagle, Roussel, and Erickson made ownership more amenable to buying out Holtby? Because they've been hesitant in the past to use these buyouts.
I think it did because, as Drance just said, if there was pushback from ownership, the counter argument would be like, we have to do this.
How many million, because
of the other moves that we made, we have to do this now. Like, we're forced to buy out Holtby. We don't have a choice.
How many millions of dollars have the Canucks wasted on bad contracts?
Go to Cap Friendly. Look at it.
Erickson contract was wasted, pretty much.
Right. I mean, Erickson's contract was... It's actually unfortunate that it took this long to have a resolution, because suffering through it is the best way to describe it. He had to suffer through it.
We had to suffer through it.
It was just bad for everybody involved. And it was 5 of 6 years of that, right? That's a long time. That's a half a decade.
Mike in Aldergrove, what we learned, it took 7 years and a lot of the owner's money, but Benning is finally showing he's admitted to signing bad contracts. I don't know about that. I think his hand was forced. His hand was forced, certainly, in the Jake Virtanen situation. And I think his hand was forced in the Braden Holtby situation. Mm-hmm. He had to clear cap space. And clearly, the Canucks were not able to trade Braden Holtby even for nothing. Like, they wouldn't have been able to trade Braden Holtby and not retained at least $1 million or $2 million of that contract. So again, the details of the buyout are, in this upcoming season, the cap hit for the Canucks is $500,000.
We've got an update on the Marc-Andre Fleury trade.
So this is from Pierre LeBrun. Further to Darren Dreger, the deal is still pending a trade call, but it's Fleury to Chicago in exchange for forward Michael... Oh, boy.
Hakkarainen. So they threw in a prospect. Well, I don't know if he's a prospect. A drafted player. Let's put it that way. Yeah, I did start to wonder. Sorry.
That's a throw-in, isn't it?
But that's the thing, is they actually gave something as opposed to the Coyotes. And I don't know if the NHL is going to go back and revisit these, because it does seem strange that you can just take something from a team. It opens up a bit of a Pandora's box, honestly, where you're just like, well, I can just take on all your bad money and a bunch
Not
of
really.
Picks.
I don't think it does, because you can always just, your consideration could be the least valuable thing. You could throw in a prospect that has no chance of making it to the NHL. You can throw in a 7-round draft pick and call that consideration.
There's another goalie, fairly high priced as well, that's going to be on the move, also via the buyouts, as we do what we learns here. Pierre LeBrun and Kevin Kurz are reporting that, not surprisingly, the San Jose Sharks are placing Martin Jones on unconditional waivers for the purpose of a buyout. From grace that was for the local boy. Because when he took the Sharks to the Stanley Cup when we were there against Pittsburgh in 2016, he was San Jose's best player in that series.
It's another risk in locking up big money to a goalie. Yep. Sometimes that happens. They can just fall, you know, if they lose their confidence or something on their technique, they just lose it, period. They lose it. Elliot Friedman with this tweet. If we just want to add something to this whole...
So much stuff going on right now, folks.
To this
so much stuff.
Marc-Andre Fleury trade. He's been traded to Chicago, by the way. Elliot tweets out, one thing to watch here. There were rumblings that Marc-Andre Fleury might choose to retire if traded from Vegas for family reasons. And then Elliot concludes, not certain how this will all play out. So just something to watch.
Just in case,
just something to watch.
In case you missed it, everything happened in the last half hour. Braden Holtby, as per Rick Dhaliwal, since confirmed by a couple other sources, will be bought out by the Vancouver Canucks. Man, what a busy 15 minutes for goalies in the NHL. So Holtby got bought out by the Canucks. Marc-Andre Fleury, the reigning Vezina winner in the NHL, has been traded from Vegas to Chicago. And the San Jose Sharks... Oh, Dom's got his hand up. Let me finish. The San Jose Sharks have just announced that they're going to be buying out Martin Jones. Sorry, they haven't announced. It's through Kevin Kurz and Pierre LeBrun. You have another one.
The Vegas Knights did Marc-Andre Fleury dirty, apparently, as a source confirming to Jesse Granger that Marc-Andre Fleury just found out he was traded through Twitter.
Yikes. Yikes. Okay, we got to get a break. We'll try and digest all of this on the other side. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650.
This town is a lonely town, not the only town.
8:48 on a Tuesday. Is it Tuesday? I don't even know. The last 15, 20 minutes have been a real whirlwind, folks. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650. This town. So right on this is the eve of free agency. I figured we'd have some news to chew on today. I did not expect all of it to come down and to be so profoundly altering to the goaltending market, which was already a spinning carousel with players available and seats up for grab, saddles unfilled on the carousel. So again, to recap, Braden Holtby bought out by the Vancouver Canucks. None of this has been made official by any of the clubs yet, just so we're clear. But Braden Holtby, buyout, Vancouver, done. Marc-Andre Fleury just recently voted the best goalie in the NHL. Traded to Chicago for a no-name prospect, basically given away. Now, with that one, we're starting to get word from a multitude of reporters that Fleury had no interest, no desire whatsoever to leave Vegas, and that he may have been caught so off guard by this trade that he learned about it on Twitter.
And Elliot Friedman has tweeted out that he has heard that if Vegas were to trade Fleury, which they just did,
sounds like it's done,
that Fleury might retire for family reasons. So Elliot was kind of like, we don't know if he's going to do that. Maybe the Blackhawks can, you know, convince him to come and play for them. But he might just be like, no, I'm done. This is if Marc-Andre Fleury must have some trust issues right now. Ugh. Because he probably felt that he was not treated fairly by the Penguins at times. And now it's Vegas.
Here's the thing. I've said on numerous occasions that franchises are best served by being cold and ruthless and calculating. Not unlike Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots, where it's all about team, do your job, win games. And if you're not doing your job or you're not doing your job well enough, commensurate with your contract, you're gone. Mm-hmm. Right? They've cut legends of the...
That's the culture.
That's the culture. I encourage and applaud it at times. In this instance, I feel like this is cold, cold-blooded.
Dom has more news.
This from Pierre LeBrun, tweeting out actually just as we came back from break, that UFA goalie Yaroslav Halak is among Vancouver's shortlist of targets to replace Braden Holtby.
Right, I saw that as well, and that corroborates what Thomas Drantz said during his hit, in which we broke the Holtby news live right here at Sportsnet 650. It makes sense because once you're over the age of 35, you can start to basically monkey with the contract, where you can give the player a lot more of a performance bonus or signing bonus. That brings down the cap hit. It's a lot of
But it applies it to next season. Like, the Canucks are constantly
exactly
we'll deal with this next season, right?
But that's exactly what it is. You can get him for a lower cap hit because he's over the age of 35.
The Canucks would definitely always have a sizable amount on their credit card, wouldn't they?
Yeah. They'd be me in my 20s.
But if they have a good points card, you know? A lot of points.
They're like, ah, we'll pay this off next week.
Yeah.
Probably not.
How high is the percentage on this?
My God.
I still have it, actually. It's funny, but I have.
You're still paying for it?
No. It was led into a story.
You still got a balance from, like, the Roxy?
No. I signed up for, you know, one of those student credit cards? Remember you used to walk through the quad or whatever?
Oh, yeah.
I got
$500
limit. $500 limit. Mm-hmm. I still actually have it. It's an SFU MasterCard. It's
nice.
Is it active?
Or yeah,
you've
got just
the card? I've got the card. The card, yeah, still. And occasionally stuff will fall out of my phone wallet. And it'll and someone's like, what is that? I'm like, oh, that's a Simon Fraser University MasterCard. Have you never seen one?
My limit was bumped up to $750, not to brag.
Like, you couldn't buy... Like, you couldn't book a vacation. Half the time I didn't have enough money to, like, book it. If I wanted to do a plane ticket or something, I wanted to rent a car. That's how low the limit was on that card.
Can I get two pitchers of beer? No, your card has been declined. How about one and a highball?
Yeah.
And then fine, you're in there.
I have two SFU credit cards now. Can you put half the balance on one and half the balance
on
the other?
Let's wrap up the poll question.
Yowza, what a day.
I wish we didn't have to wrap up the show, to be perfectly honest with you.
There's a lot happening.
I wish we could keep going. But we're going to have a busy day tomorrow as well. We had a little bit of fun with our poll question this morning. The question was, what is more toxic? Is it Canucks Twitter, Canucks media, asbestos, or the Canucks? Congratulations to Canucks Twitter. 47% of the vote, Canucks media, asbestos, and the Canucks all shared around, 16 to 19%. I do enjoy the people that voted for asbestos because they're like, that stuff's pretty dangerous, actually.
They just wanted to be right, and technically they were.
Technically, this is correct.
Okay, apologies to all the listeners who submitted what we learned. We did not do a single one. We didn't even play the music. We didn't even play the dot matrix sound.
I did some what we learned. Yeah.
You were checked
not,
out.
Yeah, no, we just didn't. I didn't know we played the dot matrix. We barely did any. Like, it was, and there was a lot submitted, especially in that final half hour. So I just wanted to apologize to the peeps, but thank you all for listening. Thank you all for engaging. We will be back tomorrow. It's free agency day, so that's going to be a lot of fun as well. Be sure to tune in right at 6 o'clock. Signing off, I have been Mike Halford. He's been Jason Bruff. He's been Nephew Dom. This has been the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650.
What goes down better after a show like that? It's some red wine. Buy a local on BC Day at BC Liquor Store. Save $2 on Vintage Ink Whiskey Barrel Aged Red. What a mouthful. Now just $13.99. Products vary by store. Please enjoy responsibly.